just shared with you. But that's the urgency of the moment. This is the message for the hour. Can I say that again? That was the urgency of the moment. This is the message of the hour. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, New Living Translation, verse 12 through verse 18. Some of you get nervous. Don't get nervous. Help me preach. Acts 2, 1 through 4, New Living Translation, and it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Then we're going to verse 12. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they are just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. Oh, I like that statement. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach to you on the thought today, the infusion of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice that last part again. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out of my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. What is he talking about? There will be an infusion of the power of God in their life. So that's where the thought comes from today, the infusion of the Spirit. Infusion is the introduction of a new element or quality into something. Think about that. The introduction of a new element or a quality into something. The infusion of the Spirit of God into your spirit is the most powerful thing that can happen to a human being. Amen. The saving grace of God is the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. But the most powerful thing that will happen in you is when there is an infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit into your being. Amen. During the Great Depression, I want to share this with you. There was a ranch owner by the name of Yates. He wasn't able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage, so he was in danger of losing his ranch. With little money for clothes or food, his family, like many others, had to live on government subsidies. Day after day, he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills. He was no doubt greatly troubled about how he would pay his bills. Then a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told him there might be oil on his land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease contract. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were drilled also that more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed that it still had the potential to flow of 125,000 barrels a day 30 years later. Now, what does that mean to us? Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the land, he received the oil and the mineral rights to the land. Yet he had been living on relief. He owned it all, but he was living on government subsidy. A millionaire living in poverty. Now here's the question. What's the problem, Pastor? The problem was he didn't know the oil was there even though he owned it. It was his for receiving. It was his for having, but he did not know it was there. A whole new element entered his life that brought him into a new quality of life. Now that brings me to what I want to talk to you about this morning. One of the great gifts of God, one of the greatest gifts, is that we have been given in Christ the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. We've been given the gift of the outpouring of the Spirit of God for our life. Do we realize we have Him? Do we realize that He is available? Or like Mr. Yates, are we missing something somewhere? Think about it. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our counselor. He is our teacher. And I like this. What many people fail to understand about the Holy Spirit, He is our prayer partner. For the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, according to this, it reveals that we may not know how to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans so deep for words. He intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for what we can explain or how we can speak it for ourselves. The Holy Spirit is a tremendous resource that we can draw from. I want you to hear this morning. He's the greatest resource that we can draw from. We read in the Word of God. We receive from the Scripture. But when we receive directly from the Lord, we receive it from the Spirit of God who brings it directly to us. He is the one who will reveal to us the presence of God. He is the one that draws us into the presence of God. You want to know why you were drawn to God this morning? Because the Spirit of the Lord drew you into Him. Now get this. One of the fundamental differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament is the proximity or the nearness of God. I want you to listen to this. It's important. The proximity or the nearness of God. The distance between God and us in the Bible can mean more than spatial distance or space distance between us and Him, because God's presence can be hid in different things. God's presence can be hid in a revelation. God's presence can be hid in His wrath. God's presence can be hid in His grace. So sometimes we miss the presence of God because we're not recognizing the passage or what it's coming through to get to us. Now let's go back for a minute. In the Old Testament, the only way to approach God would be to bring a sacrifice to the priesthood, if you would. The priest, on a certain day of atonement, the priest would enter into the presence of God on behalf of the whole nation. And that was the only way that they could approach God. But then when we get into the New Testament, Jesus became our sacrifice and He became our high priest. As our sacrifice, Jesus willingly laid down His life. He became the perfect Lamb of God that would suffice for the sins of all mankind, therefore meeting the requirements of a holy God. Then on the third day in His resurrection and ascension, Jesus became our high priest. And when He passed into the heavens, listen to this, He closed the gap between us and the Father. When He made His ascension up into heaven, when He rose from the grave, He closed the gap between us and God. We were no longer strangers. We were no longer aliens to the promise of God, but we became sons and we became daughters of Almighty God. It was in that moment that we became the sons and daughters of the Lord. And as His children, we have access into the very presence of God. And I want to tell you, because you are a child of the King, you have access into the presence of God. And nothing or nobody can stop you from getting there. Notice in Hebrews 4:16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I want you to notice again, let us come boldly to the throne of God. And it's there we will receive His mercy. The throne of grace is the place of God's presence. This is important. It is a place of God's presence from which grace comes to the people of God. From the throne of His grace. Hebrews tells us that we can draw near to Him with confidence. Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly. We can come to a gracious God. It is a throne of mercy. It is a throne of grace. And I like the way the Message Bible says it in Hebrews 4:16. He said, now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. What is he saying? You have access to God. Don't let it slip by you. Don't miss it. God has made a way for you to come near Him. Now here's a question for you. How we do that? God's made a way for us to come in near Him. God's made a way for us to get into His presence. God's made a way for us to get about. Bart, how do we do that? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He said, you will receive power, and you'll be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit coming upon us is the personal presence of God. Listen, enabling us to do things we could not do before. The infilling or the infusion of the power of God's Spirit in our life is the personal presence of God coming into us, enabling us to do things we've never been able to do in our life. It's called the anointing. It's called the authority. It's called the power of God. I can imagine this band of ex-fishermen, common, uneducated, untrained men, hearing Jesus tell them that the Holy Ghost would come upon them and that they would go and they would preach to the whole world. I can only imagine what they were thinking. They were probably thinking, well, you got to be kidding us, God. You got to be kidding us. There's no way this Holy Spirit will do that for us. When the Spirit of God comes in us, it'll really make that kind of difference in us. And I can almost hear them saying, all I got to say, Lord, is this baptism better be very powerful. Can you imagine what they must have been thinking? But can I tell you, I believe in the end, I think their response was very much like Mary. So let it be done to me according to your word, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your anointing. Somebody hear this preacher. The Spirit of the power of God pouring out is the power of God pouring out into our hearts. I said the Spirit of the power of God is God's Spirit pouring out into our hearts. I know it's a little later, but please just stay with me. I got to give this to you. God gave it to me for you. Now listen. The presence of the Spirit is to be an experienced living reality. I'm going to say that again. The presence of God's Spirit is to be an experienced living reality. What does it mean? What does that mean? It means we're to experience it and live in the reality of Him being in our life. It is to change the course of our life. It's not merely something we know about or can make observation about, but it's something that is meant to change us. You are meant to live in the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? I said, you are meant to live in the Spirit and the power and the presence of God. That's how God designed you. He didn't mean for us to live without Him. He didn't mean for us to just get by. He meant for us to walk in authority, in boldness, in power, and the might of an almighty God. But my question to us today, and I think we need to ask each one of ourselves in this room today, what is the power of the Spirit? I want you to ask yourself this as I present it to you. What is the power of the Spirit? Have I experienced that? How do I experience it? How do I live in that kind of relationship with God? How can I do that? How can it happen in me? Notice Jesus said in Acts 1 and 4, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift of the promise. As I told you before, John the Baptist baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'm trying to quote King James and reading these new versions. But he said, John baptized with water. But not many days from now, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be filled with power. It was clear he was talking about something that would be experienced. He was talking about something that would make a difference in them. He was talking about something that would make a difference in every person who received the Spirit of God from that day to this day. He was talking about something that would literally transform their life. Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to mess some folks up that's believed this for many years. The exact events of Pentecost will not be repeated. I just messed some old timers up right there. The exact events of Pentecost will not be repeated. It's not going to happen exactly like it happened then. But it's still happening. God sent me by to tell you this morning, He's still being poured out in the church. He's still empowering the church. The Spirit is for every believer, every hungry heart, every hungry soul, every desiring person. Jesus called this event in Acts 2 the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In a few days, it's going to happen to you. Just hang on. I want to say this to somebody in this room. If you've been hungry for more of God, if you've been praying for the Spirit of God, if you've been praying for the Holy Ghost to come, hang on. Hang on. Keep believing. Keep trusting what Jesus told them. And can I tell you, when the day of Pentecost came, there was 120 believers in the upper room. And guess what? Every single one of them in that room was endued with power from on high, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And I want to say to somebody in this room, this baptism is at the very core of why Jesus came and gave His life for you. It's at the very core of why He came. Yes, He came to die for our sin, but He also came to bring us the power of the Father, because if Jesus had not went away, He could not have come. Are you with me? Are you listening to me? While Jesus was on this earth, He was the representative of the Father, but when He went back to heaven and sat on the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit of God came as an endowment of God's power to all mankind. Oh, I hope you're hearing me today. Baptism means to be immersed. Oh, I like that. And in this one, and here it means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I can't think of anything a follower of Christ should want more than to be immersed in the very presence of God. That's God's gift to you. That's Jesus' gift to you. John came baptizing with water. Jesus came baptizing with the Holy Ghost. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance. He said, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I urge you today. I said, I urge you today. Please hear this, preacher. I urge you with all openness and eagerness to say this: Lord, the scripture says that you would baptize me with the Holy Spirit. The scripture said you would endue me with power. God, I want that. God, I need that. God, I desire that. God, I long for that. God, I want that more than anything else in my life. You need to eagerly, earnestly, openly receive that from God. And make those declarations to the Lord. Because what you declare according to the word of God, you can receive. Amen? Now let me ask you, do you want it? Do you desire him? Do you long for him? If you do, tell God about it. Declare it. Decree it. A.W. Tozer, one we've many of us have read after over the years, talks about his experience in receiving the Holy Spirit. He said, there developed in me a restlessness. Listen to this. He said, I was at a place where I wanted everything God had for me. Even though I did not quite understand it all, I did not understand the Holy Spirit. I did not understand what being filled with the Holy Spirit was all about. But I was open to everything God had for me. Is that you? Then he went on to say, then it happened. I was 19 years old when I was baptized with a mighty infusion of the Holy Spirit. Even now, he said, it is hard to explain what happened. But I know what God did for me and within me at that time. Nothing on the outside from then on had equal importance for me. In fact, I took a leap away from everything that was unimportant to that which was most important, which was to be possessed by the Spirit of the living God. Let me back up and I'm going to finish what he said. He said, I took a leap away from what was unimportant to what was most important. Oh God, I feel him. Some of you listen to me today, you need to get away from the unimportant. And you need to eagerly get after what's important, what's most important. Now let's finish what he said. He said, looking back over my life, my testimony is simply that any work God has ever done through me and my ministry dates back to that moment I was filled with the Holy Spirit. All the credit goes to the Holy Spirit. And it's in bold letters here, that is when I truly became alive. He said, that's when I truly became alive. Not a day goes by that I don't give myself completely to the Holy Spirit. That was the day I came alive. That's the day when I really began to live. That's the day when everything changed in my life. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit comes upon a man or a woman. It changes everything about them. I said it changes everything about them. He comes with impact. He falls on us. He fills us to fulfillment. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost fell on the church in Acts chapter 2, it was not unplanned. It was not random. It was not a random event. It was shocking according to the word of God. It was a shocking moment, if you would, when the Spirit came with wind, it came with fire, and it came with tongues. But I want to say this to you. It was not some just bizarre thing that came out of left field with no rhyme or reason, but it was the outpouring of the Spirit of God on God's church. It was the outpouring of the Spirit of God that was a part of God's sovereign plan for all of the ages. He poured it out upon the church. He poured it out for you. He poured it out for me. Listen, God promised it and he delivered on his promise. I said, God promised it, and he delivered on his promise. Listen, just as God sent his Son in the world at the right time, he sent the Holy Spirit of God into the world at the right time. And I got news for you. He's still here. He's still abiding, and he's still working. Give the Lord a hand in here. God's plan was when Jesus went up to send the Spirit of God down. To send the glory and the power of God. Why? For empowerment, to energize, to bring a manifestation of himself upon man. so that man could walk in the same authority Jesus walked in. Man could walk in the same power Jesus walked in. Man could lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Man could speak to the dead and see them get up. Man could see the miraculous hand of God. Can I tell you, the Spirit would direct the church and it would dwell in the church. And this was the plan of God. Jesus said it was the promise of the Father. And he tells them in Luke 24 and 49, I'm sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you, but you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. He said, stay there until you are clothed, until you are fully equipped with power from on high. I like what he told them. Don't you leave. Don't you leave the building. Don't you step out of the door. Don't leave the premises. Stay where you are until you receive the fullness of my power and the fullness of my presence. He wanted his disciples to experience the promise of all the ages. Listen to me. The greatest gift of God to human beings is the gift of his immediate presence. I said the greatest gift of God to all human beings is the immediate of his presence right now. That's the greatest gift of the Lord. It was the gift he gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. It was the presence of his gift that he gave to Israel. Won't you listen to me this morning? It was what set them apart from the rest of the world. I'm reminded in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, 16, the Lord replied to Moses. He said, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all of the peoples of the world. The one thing that made the Israelites different from everybody else was the presence of God was with them. Can I just stop and tell you, and I'm not saying we're the only ones, but can I tell you what makes Valley View Church of God different than anybody else? It's because of the presence of God that is with us. If there's a church down the road that has the presence of God, you know what makes them different from everybody else? It's the presence of God that is upon them. Oh, listen to this preacher this morning. We read throughout the Word so many times how the Spirit of God came upon the people of God by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. We read where they built a tabernacle and the glory of God settled on the tabernacle. But I want to take you for just a moment to where David was. Many years later in David in the Psalms, and he said this. He talked about sheer joy of being in the tabernacle, of being in the presence of God. Don't you notice what he said? He said, this one thing I have desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Then he went on to say, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. One interpretation said better than elsewhere. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Then he said, I was glad when they said to me, let me go into the house of the Lord. You know why David said that? Because in the tabernacle was the presence of God. In the tabernacle was the glory of God. In the tabernacle was the power of God. I would to God that we would get back to the place that we could say, I was glad when they said unto me, let me go into the house. Let me go into where the presence of God is, where the glory of God is, where the anointing of God is. There was such a desire on David. There was such a joy on David because of the realness of the temple. But then I want to take you to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. A man by the name of Gordon Free said, the Spirit is none other than the fulfillment of the promise that God Himself would once again be present with His people. Did you get that? The Spirit is none other than the fulfillment of the promise of God to once again be among His people. So why did the Spirit come? So God could be with us. Why did the Spirit come? So God could dwell with us. And can I tell you, God spoke a broader work of the Spirit of God coming powerfully upon His people in greater measure, in greater manifestation, and with greater power. I'm not going to go back and read through it all the way again, but he said on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled a hall, the house where they were sitting, like a windstorm it came. And then you go down to the latter part of the light, what Peter said here. He said, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did Peter appeal to the promise of Joel? Don't you hear this? Why did Peter appeal to the promise of Joel? I'll tell you why. Because God said through Joel that phenomenal things would accompany the outpouring of God's Spirit. Joel said that phenomenal things were going to happen with the outpouring of the Spirit. And can I tell you, in that room where they were standing, Amanda, there was a phenomenal things happening that people didn't understand. They thought they were drunk. They thought they were out of their mind. They thought something weird was going on. But Peter was awakening them to the fact God said this would come. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit caused many remarkable effects on the people of God. Listen to me. Some people dreamed dreams. Some people had visions. And some people prophesied. Now here's the key word. Some people had visions. Some people had dreams. Some people prophesied. But Joel prophesied a time would come when God's Spirit would be so generously poured out on in such a massive scale that virtually all of God's people would prophesy. Everybody, young and old alike, they would dream, they would envision, they would prophesy. John Piper said it like this. He said, when God Almighty pours Himself into an individual, the inner life is changed. Are you listening? When God Almighty pours Himself into an individual, the inner life is changed. It is filled with God. Then he said, and since the mouth is simply the pressure valve of the inner life, when the inner life is full of God, the mouth will prophesy. You remember the old pressure cookers Grandma used to have? You young folks don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I remember those old pressure cookers that had what we called a pop-off valve. And man, when that pressure got just right, pew, you'd hear it sing. Well, let me just stop and tell you, your mouth is the pop-off valve. Are you listening to me? I said your mouth is the pop-off valve. And when you get filled with the Spirit of God and you get filled with the power of God and the urgency of the glory of God rises up in you and begins to burn inside of you, your mouth will open up and it will begin to prophesy the things of the Lord. And my prayer is, God, let us prophesy again. God, let us speak the words of God again. Let us speak boldly. Let us speak proudly. Let us speak in urgency, oh God. Stand to your feet with me all across this room. Young men would see visions. Old men would dream dreams. Oh, my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy. You know what he's talking about? Young and old. Men and women, even the lowliest people, all would have this immediate direct communication and experience with God. Everybody. In Acts chapter 2, God's Spirit is filling and acting upon the people, and they did things they could not do without the Spirit. I said they did things they could not do without the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, are you listening to me? If you've cut everything else off I've said today, please hear me right here. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, the doors are blown off. I said, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, the doors are blown off. The possibilities just expanded exponentially. All things are possible when the Spirit of God is poured out, TJ. All things. All things. All things. I like your spirit. All things are poured out when the Spirit of God comes. Are you hearing me? You might dream dreams from God tonight. You might prophesy them next week. God just poured this in my heart yesterday evening. I got to give it to you right now. You might dream dreams from God tonight, and you may prophesy them next week. You may proclaim them next week. You may have a vision or a visual impression given to you by God. You might speak in a new tongue. Oh, wouldn't that be something? Oh, hallelujah. You might be a witness of Christ to some people you never imagined you would ever in your wildest dreams witness to. God might use you to accomplish things beyond anything you could even imagine to think you could do. Why? Because an infusion of the power of God's Spirit in your life. Because the infusion of the power of God's Spirit inside of you. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? I said, are you ready? Oh my God, I feel him in this house. Are you ready? The devil didn't want me to preach this message to you, and I felt kickbacks all through this today, but I declare to you, God had you, you had to hear this word today. You had to hear the voice of God today. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? I said, are you ready? When God's Spirit is poured out upon us, everything changes. Say that with me. Everything changes. When the Spirit of God's poured out, everything changes. We are in the days of the Spirit of God. Oh, we've heard that song for years. These are the days of Elijah. Thank God. Amen, Colin. But these are the days of the Spirit. These are the days of the power. These are the days of the glory.